The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. This is your audio journal for the West Coast personal appearance campaign. We are departing from the house right here on our Edmond campus and en route to the airport where we can climb aboard the Gulfstream 450 and then head off to Phoenix, Arizona for the first stop in this three-day personal appearance campaign. As most of you know, we've had quite a few packs already this summer. We've been to Red Deer, Alberta. We've been to Spokane, Washington. We've been to New York City and then also Memphis, Tennessee as well. So it's been a productive personal appearance campaign thus far, and we've got quite a few more cities that we're going to be seeing this weekend. As I said, we're heading off to Phoenix today. From there, we'll be going to Los Angeles, California for a Monday night event, and then up to Sacramento, California for Tuesday night. So all three of these are one night only, and we're taking a little bit of a smaller crew. You'll meet them later when we're on the plane. But for now, I'll just try to give you a little bit of an update on the number of people that we're expecting at these three. We have had a pack previously, I think just at the beginning of last year in 2018, in Phoenix and in Los Angeles, so that might be one reason why the numbers were a little bit lower than what we were hoping for. But for now, we've had 127 people request tickets in the non-PCG members for the Phoenix area. And then Los Angeles, we've had 82. And this time in LA, I think the one at the beginning of 2018, it was sort of on the west side of Los Angeles. This time we scheduled one more on the east side of LA so that hopefully we could attract more people from that part of the state. But only 82 have registered, and then a pretty small group up in Sacramento, 54 have registered. There's also quite a few PCG members that are attending these packs, so we'll certainly, as we continue through this audio journal, we'll certainly update you on those final figures. We're obviously hoping and praying for an excellent follow-through rate at all three of these packs. So, as I say, we're leaving the campus right now. Typically, it takes about 35 or 40 minutes to drive down to the Oklahoma City airport, and from there, it's a pretty smooth and quick process to drive out to the church's aircraft, and we'll try to include some sounds from the airport, as well as some special sounds, some sounds from the plane itself while we're up in the air. So for that, we'll conclude this first segment on your audio journal for the Trumpet Daily Radio Show West Coast Personal Appearance Campaign.
The Trumpet Daily.
Right now, we are 40,000 feet in the air. We're en route to Phoenix, Arizona, the first stop on this three-leg trip out west. The personal appearance campaign heads to Phoenix, Los Angeles, and then Sacramento. I should also point out we're recording this, of course, on Sunday, the first day of the pack, and we have three follow-up Bible studies on this day as well. So we're certainly praying for the success of the follow-up campaigns today in New York City, in Memphis, and in Red Deer. And then also you should know that on the day that this audio journal plays, this Wednesday, there's also a follow-up Bible study scheduled for Spokane, Washington on Wednesday as well. On this particular trip, we have a little bit of a smaller crew. I'm with Andrew Loker and his lovely wife, Trish, and also their daughter, Audrey. She's taking care of the food services today on the flight for the four of us and also for the two pilots. So I'm with Mr. Loker now. He's the chief financial officer of the Philadelphia Church of God, And he's going to begin by just giving us a little bit of background to the Gulfstream 450, which we've had now for 2.5 years, and what led up to the final purchase of this aircraft on April 12th, 2017.
Thank you, Mr. Fleury. Yeah, it's very exciting to be on this aircraft. A lot of research did go into the purchase. We hired some consultants, and it's probably a surprise to some and maybe not so much to others. The different aircraft manufacturers that are out there have different strengths and weaknesses. We considered certain aircraft that would climb through air traffic faster in the Falcon Jet, which gave you priority with air traffic control. The aircraft that we settled on, the Gulfstream G450, was selected for its range that gives us the eastbound flight to England on a single nonstop flight from Oklahoma City. And I think what sold this aircraft to us more than anything else, they likened it to a Cadillac. It's not maybe quite as fuel efficient, but the comfort in flight is superior, being a little bit longer wingspan, a little bit heavier aircraft. So it's actually more settled at altitude and really gives you a very peaceful environment.
So we're, as I say, on the way to Phoenix. We've used the, I'm not sure if we got a count on how many packs we've gone to, but we've obviously been, I guess, 7 total. Okay. Okay. At the end of this trip, Mr. Locher says we will have gone through 7 packs on this aircraft, and I think we've used it for 1 or 2 other things. Well, of course, for trips to Edstone. I'm just trying to go from memory here. We had a couple of trips to Jerusalem on the plane. The plane, of course, was used for the Feast of Tabernacles, for my father's trips to the Feast of Tabernacles a couple of years ago. Well, each feast, I guess it is. And so, we've gotten some amazing use out of it. And speaking of my father, his right leg is improving steadily. So he's, of course, anxious to return to the PAC circuit himself. But he's quite happy to see, in this case, the case of this trip, to see us hitting a couple of cities that we've been to before. We were actually in Los Angeles, as I was saying, when we left the house this morning, back at the start of 2018. And we were in Phoenix in August, I believe, of 2018. So maybe you could tell us about just some of the logistics with the hotels and planning for the trip, what goes into, you know, how many people at headquarters are involved in these trips. We have kind of, at least with the 3 I've been on, we have changed the crew somewhat. We had more of a focus on radio that first trip, not quite as much the second trip. And then this time we're not going to be doing any live radio while the packs are going. So you came along as well as your wife. So tell us just what goes into some of the logistics and the planning in the lead up to these packs.
Probably the first thing we do is I work with David Vahil. He works in our marketing department. Between he and Shane Granger, we try to look at Trumpet subscriber density maps to see the greatest number of people that we can invite to each campaign. Once we start to settle on cities, we of course talk to the regional directors to determine, to get their feedback where they think it might be a good location. Jason Kokomice, who does our convention planning, goes to work contacting hotels, different venues. At the same time, Shane Granger is also working with the flight crew and planning the trip. We try to find airport hotels that will easily accommodate a quick in and out trip from the traveling staff. Back at headquarters, we use either Sam, Dwight, Josh Sloan, Dwight Falk, that is. They work with some of the recordings, getting things to air, and that type of thing. So really, there's quite a team at headquarters. I try to oversee all of that. The invitations that are sent out, we typically send out 3 invitations to the subscribers in the area. And so we're printing tens of thousands of pieces of paper, packaging that mail, and sending that out from the mail processing center.
Yeah. So as far as just the overall logistics and the efficiency of everything, it's obvious to our listeners that flying aboard a private aircraft is, I left a counselor's meeting this morning at 10 o'clock and then got to the plane at 11, and we were in the air by 11:10. So that is incredible. and makes things very easy and efficient. Just the fact that you can leave at 11 in the morning and be at an event that same day at 4:30 in the afternoon, that's something that would not be possible with commercial travel. But maybe you could also just talk about the efficiency and the cost even that goes into an hour or two of travel aboard this this aircraft.
Okay, very good. Yes, that was one of the main factors of purchasing the aircraft, was to facilitate things, events like this. As was said, we left at 11 a.m. With the time change, we arrive at 11 a.m. The beauty of the campaigns is the involvement of the people on the local brethren that help set up the campaigns. But getting to some of those questions that you asked, the aircraft, it costs about $3,000 per hour to operate. But what's really amazing by that is just the efficiency. You don't have to take people out of staff or out of their office jobs and have them wait around at airports. The same cost per hour to fly the aircraft really exists whether you have two passengers, or this plane will accommodate up to 16 passengers on a short-haul flight. We find airports that have cheaper fuel, and even that varies just like in any town driving from gas station to gas station. And so really there are a couple different factors that we have to consider: the length of the runways at the airports. We have to have sufficient room, not so much for landing, but the pilots have told me that the reason why you need the longer runway is for an aborted takeoff. And so that also factors into the cities that we're able to go to. We, like I said, we try to land at an airport that's within a couple miles of the facility that we want to use. We pick those hotels that are close to airports because they're also more familiar with the local residents, and it makes it easier for them to find.
So you say $3,000 roughly per hour, but that includes everything, fuel and landing fees, pilots, and all of that?
Yes, that's correct. The cost covers all the salaries for pilots, for our mechanic. We have maintenance contracts on our engines. That's all factored in. The fuel costs, everything that's associated with the flight. There's some airports have landing fees. There's overflight fees, perhaps for some countries if we go internationally. So all of that factored together is about $3,000 per hour.
So there you have it. You've got a behind-the-scenes look of the PAX, the Gulfstream 450. Even as we're flying 40,000 feet above in the sky, we're about, I think, 20 to 25 minutes from Phoenix already. So the rest of this trip, you'll be hearing from some of the people that attend the PAX. I'll be giving you some brief updates along the way, probably from the hotel rooms as well. So until the next segment, we'll talk to you soon.
You're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. For 6,000 years, humanity has been going the way of pride and vanity, selfishness and greed. Human beings have been filled with self-gratification, jealousy, envy, resentment toward others, a spirit of rebellion against authority, and hostility toward God and God's laws. The true Christian must overcome these tendencies through a process known as conversion. For much more on this subject, request the free booklet, Just What Do You Mean? Conversion. Being converted is not an initiation into a secret club or society. It is not a rite or ceremony. It is a matter of turning away from the way of vanity and selfishness to a new and true way of life in Christ Jesus, living by every word of God, in and by the power of God's Holy Spirit. To learn more, please visit thetrumpet.com. This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
We are in the midst of our back-to-back-to-back campaign through Phoenix, Los Angeles, and Sacramento. We're recording this little segment in our hotel room in Ontario, California, where the LA PAC was held just last night. So we've completed two nights on this back-to-back-to-back journey. We're going to be leaving for Sacramento here in just a couple of hours, and then finish up with that this evening before the overnight flight back to Oklahoma City later on this evening. Just some updates here to begin with on the Phoenix pack on Sunday afternoon. We had 116 people attend, and within that number, 50 of them were subscribers who were not members of the Philadelphia Church of God. So we were very excited to, that's of course what the pack is aimed at primarily. And I'll just say that the numbers overall haven't been super high as far as the overall crowd, but the percentage of those non-members that have signed up for follow-up Bible studies has just been outstanding. We had 17 people from the Phoenix pack who signed up for the follow-up study, which will take place there, I guess, in a couple of weeks. And so we were very excited about that that interest in the follow-up study. And that first night there in Phoenix, I talked about Jude's urgent prophecy, going through a number of verses from Jude's epistle, just 25 verses in that short little book. Yet it contains a very powerful message, a very urgent message, as my father has written before in the Jude booklet. So I plugged that booklet, obviously, but I think one of the more interesting angles from that study is just in going through the first verse of Jude, where it talks about us being sanctified and then preserved and then called. And my father talked about how in the booklet, he talked about how that the King James Version has it right there, the order. And there's other more modern translations that want to rearrange that. But that is the order. That's how God inspired it to be written. Sanctified first, or set apart, and then preserved, and then called or invited. And this is talking about God's very careful selection process. And of course, being in God's church, that verse, Jude 1, it's very, very meaningful, very inspiring for us just in looking back on our life before conversion, the lead up to our invitation that brought us into the church. But what I tried to help the trumpet readers to see, those who are not members, is that God may well be working in their lives and preserving them in very special ways to prepare them for the invitation, to prepare them for the calling. And so, as I say, following that message then to get 17 people signing up for the follow-up study, that's very exciting indeed. I did speak to one man. He came all the way over from New Mexico to attend the pack in Phoenix. I think he drove something like 7 hours. He said he had been supporting the church with tithes and donations for, I think, 15 or 20 years. But he appeared to be very excited to talk to me, but he also was just really sobered, almost quivering a little bit, because he said, I just haven't acted on this message, this truth, over the years. I've taken it to a certain point, but I need to go further. And he said tonight's message really is the motivation that I needed to take this to the next step. So that's very encouraging to see that kind of response. Here in Los Angeles last night, we had really about the same numbers, not that different from Phoenix, 120 people total attending the one-night-only event in Los Angeles, 45 of them non-members. And what was interesting is as I was talking to Brian Davis, the regional director for the Southwest, before the event, and he was saying, you know, we just had the LA pack. It was over in Norwalk about a year and a half ago, the one that my father conducted, and also one in Phoenix just a year ago. So we've had two packs recently in these same two cities. And so he was saying, Mr. Davis was saying how that there's probably going to be a lot of people that were at that first campaign that are repeat customers, so to speak. So anyway, I had people raise their hands last night to ask them if they had been at the first campaign in Norwalk with my father. And most of the non-members, they were all kind of sitting in the middle area, but most of them didn't raise their hand. So a lot of the people last night were new. So that'll be interesting to see. We were, of course, hoping that there would be some repeats. I think there were a few, but a lot of them were new to the trumpet and, of course, new to the personal appearance campaign. So only 45 non-members, but here again, the follow-through rate as far as those signing up for the Bible study 2 weeks from now, we had 25 people who signed up for the follow-up Bible study. So we're just getting some really amazing responses to the follow-up study. And speaking of that, I wrote about this in the Trumpet Brief yesterday. We had, while we were going on, or while we were conducting the pack in Phoenix on Sunday, we had three follow-up studies that went on in Memphis, in Red Deer, Alberta, and then also in New York City. And the numbers coming from New York in particular were just exceptional. We had, I think from that two-day event 2 weeks ago, we had 73 non-members sign up for the follow-up Bible study. And on Sunday evening, 55 people followed through and showed up for that meeting with Cal Culpepper. So, and of the 55, 39 of them signed up for another study next week. So the ministry up in the Northwest, the Northeast, they're going to be busy these next many weeks, as there's quite a few people in the New York area that are interested in the church and that want to dig deeper into the Word of God. They're interested in PCG membership, and most of them live in Manhattan, which is really exciting because we haven't had a congregation there since 2007. We do have a few members who live in New York City, but as it is right now, they attend services over in New Jersey. So if we did get some growth in the months ahead, it would be awesome to think about a new congregation in Manhattan at some point. So those are some very encouraging statistics for sure. Well, as far as the California campaign, the one here in Southern California, in Ontario, the Los Angeles PAC, it was hard not to just talk about some of the history that my family has had here in Southern California. Of course, my father and mother came out here in 1967 as married students, and they brought their newborn baby girl with them, my sister. And then my father attended AC in Pasadena, Ambassador College in Pasadena, for 3 years. And then I was born out here in Pasadena in 1970. So after that, my father was assigned to Norwalk here in Southern California. So he was an assistant pastor, I think, for 4 or 5 years there. And then we moved away in 1975, but then came back here many times for various reasons. Of course, my parents coming back out to Pasadena for numerous refresher courses for the ministry. My father, or rather my sister, came out here for college in 1985, I think it was. And then I came out in 1988. And then even after the great falling away, all that happened following the death of Herbert Armstrong in 1986, of course, we've spent a lot of time out here over the years during the PCG years because of church visits and feast sites and PAC events like this one. And then, of course, during those 6 years of litigation, from 1997 to 2003, some of us from Edmond were just shuttling back and forth from Oklahoma City to Los Angeles to meet with our lawyers, to sit through depositions. I think it reached its peak of activity in 2002 when we were out here, it seemed like, for a good part of the summer to put the finishing touches on that that grueling 6 years of litigation, which, of course, ended up working in our favor as we got all of that literature, as I was telling them last night, Mystery of the Ages, The Incredible Human Potential, all of that material, together with all of the revelation and the understanding that God's given to this church, the former and the latter reign. I talked about some of that history right here in California. And then, like with the first night in Phoenix, I urged the attendees to act on this truth. I built the second night lecture around James 4 and verse 17, which says that if you know to do good, but you don't do it, it's sin. If you know you ought to do it, if you know to do good, but you don't, then it's sin. That's what the Bible says. And so then we went from there and just went through a number of passages all throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New, where God really does, expose the evil in human nature and the tendency in human nature to talk about being religious, to talk about obeying God, but to not do it. So the follow-up numbers here again for the Los Angeles campaign, very encouraging and exciting. 25 people scheduled to come back for another study. Well, as I said, today we move on to Sacramento, and I'm recording this on July 16th. This is the 30th anniversary, the 30-year anniversary of the spiritual reign resuming this day 30 years ago. That was the day I read Malachi's message. My father handed me that manuscript at Robber's Cave over the summer of 1989. And then you look at all of the history that has happened since. I'll probably have to get into some of that tonight. It's hard not to talk about it. Of course, I missed the opportunity to be on radio live today. But maybe I can get into it some tonight, and we can include some excerpts later on this week. In any event, it's an inspiring history, an inspiring anniversary today, July 16th, 2019. When we come back, we'll be playing a montage of all of the feedback that we've been getting at these PACs, this back-to-back-to-back event that's taking us through Phoenix and now Los Angeles, and then, of course, tonight, Sacramento, California. We'll be right back.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Flurry. If the church came into existence as an instrumentality for getting people saved, then by what means did God try to save people prior to Christ's founding of the church? Jesus did not appear until 4,000 years after Adam and the original sin. If God is and has been trying to convert the world, what means did he use during that 4,000 years between Adam and Christ? Few people in the traditional Christian world have ever stopped to even consider these questions. To nearly everyone on earth, the very existence of the church is a great mystery. The biblical facts of the church's origin and its purpose for being are clearly revealed in Herbert W. Armstrong's book, Mystery of the Ages. Request your complimentary copy today. It's offered free of charge at no cost or obligation to you. Email your request to td@kpcg.fm or visit thetrumpet.com. The Trumpet Daily.
I came here all the way from Albuquerque. I was here the last time when Mr. Flurry was here, the pastor general. And I flew then, but this time I drove. I got the invitation, 7.5 hours. I felt like Mr. Flurry was talking straight to me. And I got the message. I need to act. He asked me if I had spoken with any other ministers. No, I haven't, but I will now. I will make an appointment. But it was well worth the 7.5 hour drive. I'd do it again.
I really got started with this with Mr. Gerald Flurry, and ever since then I've been keeping up to date with Mr. Flurry and his son Stephen, and it's been really life-changing, completely altering in every way. I feel happy all the time.
I got involved, and then I did pretty much intensive study for like 7 years, proving everything right, and then like an idiot fell away. So God tapped me and says, you need a hip replacement, and I was settled down, and I came back, and we're ready to be invited into the church. We've spoken to some of the ministers, and yeah, we're going to start with the local congregation soon.
My husband got me involved into it. It's been awesome. And I'm super proud of him and grateful that, you know, that he introduced me, because he's changed my life, and God has changed my life in more than countless ways.
So I've been a reader of when it was a Plain Truth in the 80s. I was reading the magazine, and it was the first time that I read something that really felt logical. I grew up in a church, a Baptist church, and I would always walk away from the services and things did not make sense. So I said, there's got to be something else out there. And then I don't know where I came across the trumpet, or the Plain Truth at the time. And I used to watch the Herbert W. Armstrong television program. And I got drawn into it from way back then. And I'm glad to see the work still is going on. And I'm very thankful for what the church is doing. And today's program was excellent, just as well as the radio programs that I listen to. And I watch you guys on YouTube as well, and all the Key of David and the Trumpet Daily programs on YouTube. It's a blessing.
Have you been to one of the campaigns before?
I've been to the one previous to here.
Okay.
I think it was in April. It was a few, maybe last year. So I've been to that one as well.
Okay. Have you come to any of these campaigns before?
No, this is my first one, and the first time I've been invited. But I really appreciate the positive energy and the fact that all the people here are like-minded.
Yes, that's excellent. Have you any experience with Mr. Herbert Armstrong?
I do, yes, for many years. I used to watch him on TV a little bit, and before that, the World Tomorrow radio program. Yes.
Very good.
He's a true prophet.
Yes, sir. How long have you been a subscriber to the Trumpet?
Not very long. I was unaware of the Trumpet for many years, but I recently came across a form in an older book that was at the laundromat, and I sent in and signed up.
And okay.
It seems to be a continuation of what Mr. Armstrong taught.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I couldn't agree more. How long have you been a Trumpet subscriber?
I have been since 1990s.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, a long time, yeah.
Yes.
When it was what is the other name of the?
Plain Truth magazine.
Plain Truth, yes.
Yes.
Yeah. That was way back in... When I used to live in Canada, Toronto, Canada.
Well, I just got off of work at 5, and then my dad told me that there would be a neat, religious event to attend. And that's kind of how he pitched it to me. So I thought, you know, considering how I feel about my generation, I just thought it'd be a nice thing. Because he also told me that it's a little political. It ties in some politics. So I figured like that's a perfect combination for what I think could help me out, because I'm also going through some rough times. And I gotta say, it was very helpful. I thought it was encouraging and kind of nice to know that there's a community of people who feel a similar way, that we're kind of lost. Or not us, but it feels like, you know, people that we live among are lost. And it's nice to, you know, feel the guidance and know that there are people out there to guide, you know, one another. And my father's, you know, getting more involved, and he's inviting me to get involved with him, so he's taking me along with him, and I appreciate it. So,
oh, that's very good.
Yeah.
Do you live in Southern California then?
Yeah, I do live in Southern California.
Okay.
Yeah, I live in the Palm Springs area.
Okay.
Yeah.
Very good. And have you ever seen the Trumpet magazine before?
I have, actually. My father brought me to one of these events before.
Oh.
And yeah, so he had to remind me what it was, because it was a while back, and then he showed me the Trumpet magazine, and I read through it, and it's neat. I have to admit, it's definitely something that I'm interested in. And considering that I'm also interested in politics and seeing kind of how they tie in to social issues and social and political issues going on, Like, and this isn't me pandering to you or, like, patronizing you. Like, I genuinely do want to get more involved with this and also read more into it.
How long have you subscribed to The Trumpet or known about it?
Been subscribed for, I'd say, about 3 years now. Well, this would be the third year.
And how many campaigns have you been to?
This is my second. The first one I attended was with Mr. Gerald Fleury last year.
Okay. Did you talk to Stephen tonight?
I did briefly. He was walking by and recognized me because of my brother.
Yes. And then your the action steps that he mentioned tonight, did those stand out to you?
All of them, really. They're, I would say, refreshers, but also new at the same time. And I think the number one was, you know, put God first and humble yourself before God. It's an easy one to overlook and to not fully do. And him expounding on it and, you know, talking more about what it meant, that was definitely the one step that stood out the most to me at this point.
How long have you been a Trumpet subscriber?
About 6 years.
Six years
now, yeah.
How'd you hear about it?
Honestly, it was through research. It was through research, actually. I used to be agnostic. Then I turned kind of... I just believed in a God and then didn't know where it was because I felt like somebody basically proved to me that there was a God, scientifically. So then I just started kind of doing research and found the PCG and... you know, Worldwide Church of God, stuff like that, and then I found this place, and this is the one that made all the sense.
Wow, that's fantastic. Yeah. That's really great.
And the fact that, you know, I was just mind blown that there is so much taught that's false out there, and so now, you know, so let me hear.
Excellent. Yeah, that sounds great. Have you ever been to any one of our events before?
No, this is the first event.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're pretty excited to come here to Sacramento. We haven't had as much media effort in this area, so this was really a good turnout, I think.
Oh, that's awesome.
So, yeah.
I'm from Reno, so
okay.
I made the 2-hour trek out here.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good to know.
Yeah,
we had... So we were in Phoenix 2 nights ago, and somebody drove about 8 hours from Albuquerque.
Oh, okay.
That was pretty remarkable.
Yeah, that's cool.
A long drive for you, too.
That was kind of nice. Yeah, we were planning on it, so.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's great. Do you watch the TV program at all online?
Yeah, online, Key David. I also watch or I listen to the podcast as well. So not every day, but, you know. Started kind of holding the Sabbath, things like that, too. So I started, you know, listening to it a lot on that, you know, during that time. So.
Okay.
Yeah.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily. Jesus Christ came preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. Yet few preach about the kingdom of God today, for they have lost all knowledge of what it is. A prominent evangelist once said that the gospel of the kingdom of God is not for us today. Some denominations proclaim a gospel of grace, some what they call a gospel of salvation, most a gospel about Christ, some a social gospel. Some churches claim either that their particular denomination or Christianity as a whole constitutes the kingdom of God. But what does the Bible say? The truth about the kingdom of God is indeed a great mystery to this world. It's also the most glorious good news to those whose minds have been opened to the truth of the Bible. To remove the mystery from your Bible and to understand the truth about the soon coming kingdom of God, request Herbert W. Armstrong's masterful work, Mystery of the Ages. We offer it freely to those who are genuinely interested in understanding the Bible. You don't have to live in the fog of the unknown. You don't have to wonder why you were born or where this world is headed. The great mysteries of life can be made known to you if you choose to know. The choice is yours. To order the free material online, just visit our website at thetrumpet.com. And don't forget to tune in to kpcg.fm every weekday afternoon at 1 p.m. This is KPCG-FM, and this is the Trumpet Daily.
Verse 14, it says, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of saints." That's talking about the return of Christ, Jesus coming back with 10,000 saints. Enoch, a type of Enoch today, the seventh removed from the second Adam, that is Jesus Christ. The seventh era of God's church right now is Laodicea. So it's an end time prophecy. It's talking about God, Jesus Christ returning, and just a small, faithful few, a few thousand that are faithful to the truth. Verse 17, I don't have time to get into all of it, which is kind of funny because it's only 25 verses, but still. Verse 17 says, "But beloved, remember you the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time," just like Peter said, you see, "who should walk after their own ungodly lust." See, God's challenging us. He's saying, look, you're going to be going against a lot if you do. Make a stand, come out of this world. You face all this ridicule, maybe persecution coming from family and friends. But you have to do what you know you have to do in faith. Verse 20, it says, "But you, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." See, if you're drawing on the power of God, that's the key. We have a wonderful booklet. Sadly, we didn't get the box that contains all of them, but it's How to Pray. We do have one sample copy at the back. If you don't have that booklet, that's if you're looking to get into life-changing prayer, it's an outstanding book. If you study that book and try to put it into practice, God will begin to give you the power that you need to forsake the ways of this world and to commit to His family. Life-changing prayer. The Jude booklet says we really can make a difference by helping those in the church who need it. Well, he's just talking about the spirit of encouragement and support. And you receive that, I think, in large part tonight as well. We have some of our brethren here who are very encouraging and supportive as well. And very normal also. Just regular people. Verse 21 says, "Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking or waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire," or the Revised Standard says, "snatching them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh." Snatching them right out of the fire. If you know anything about the seventh and final era of the church, Laodicea, it's characterized by lukewarmness, as I said. You can read about the Joshua leader in Zechariah 3, who's referred to as a brand plucked out of the fire. He's a type of all of the Laodicean Christians who won't be plucked out of the fire unless they repent. If they repent, though, they can be plucked out. I told the story a couple of weeks ago. This man that we learned about in Red Deer, Alberta, he I think he was in his 80s. He was in the Worldwide Church of God under Mr. Armstrong for decades, and then he left. Mr. Armstrong died in 1986, and this man left the church in 1988, so just 2 years after Mr. Armstrong died, and he left, and he was kind of in a foul attitude and said, well, I don't want to have anything to do with religion ever, ever, ever again. And it wasn't until just a couple of years ago that his conscience was getting to him, and he thought, well, I need to get back to the truth. And he knew nothing about all of the splinter groups that happened after Mr. Armstrong died. He knew nothing about the PCG. He knew nothing about the trumpet. So he was going over to his sister's one day, I think it was, just a few months ago, and she had a trumpet magazine, and she had gotten it from the trumpet waiting room program. She just took it from a doctor's office, I guess, and brought it home. And so it's there. Her brother-in-law comes over. She gives him the trumpet. He reads the trumpet, sees an ad for Malachi's Message, writes the PCG for Malachi's Message, receives that in the mail. Along with Malachi's Message, he's automatically given a trumpet subscription, And he got that subscription just 9 days before the invite went out for the pack in Calgary, Alberta. So he gets this invite then, just days later, shows up to the pack. And one of our members, who's in his 40s, he thought he recognized him because he remembered him from way, way, way back. And it was the second night of the pack that he learned that that man worked with his father. His father has since died. And he remembered that history. He remembered this young man, or middle-aged man now, that's in our church. And I think it's just, it's amazing, isn't it, to see how God, going back to Jude 1, and verse 1, sanctified, preserved, and called. And how that if someone is really searching sincerely and wants to know how God will work and connect this dot and bring this trumpet magazine over here, and then comes the Malachi's message and then the invite of all things. And next thing you know, he's in a pack and he's talking to our ministers. If we'll just act on God's truth, it's amazing how much support, help, power, and encouragement God will provide. He's waiting for us. Matthew 24, just a few more verses before I conclude. If you'll allow me to give my conclusion, please. Matthew 24. Mr. Davis mentioned if you're early on in the process, just having started reading the Trumpet magazine, as he brought out, you can start tuning in to our radio station, kpcg.fm. It's also at the trumpet.com website. You can begin listening every day. There's generally a half the program is on prophecy, news, significant news as it relates to prophecy. And then there's usually a time for a short sermon message or sermonette message where you can learn more about the Word of God. That's just continuously going out. And then, of course, you know about our literature, you wouldn't be here. But there's plenty that you can be fed with as you work your way out of this world and into God's true church. Matthew 24, 37, it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So eating and drinking and marrying in and of itself is not wrong, but they were doing it the wrong way, and you see a lot of that today. But more than that, they just dismiss the prophecies of God. They say that the return of Christ won't happen. We read that at the start. They're scoffing. Or if maybe they do believe in it somehow, it's not doctrinally sound. You know, it's a rapture where everyone's going to meet and disappear. That's not what the Bible says or teaches. So we need to know Jesus Christ is returning. It says the coming of the Son of Man. And then you can put all these other prophecies together with it. Zechariah 14, he's going to set foot on the Mount of Olives. That's in Jerusalem. That's on this earth, right? It's on this globe. So he's coming to this earth. He's not going to hang out in the heaven somewhere. And then the Mount of Olives splits in half, and you have all of these dramatic changes from the Dead Sea over to the Mediterranean Sea. Well, we could go on and on. Verse 42 says, "Watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord does come." You don't know the hour. So don't worry about anything. Don't watch anything. No, he says, watch. You don't know the specific hour, so you better make sure that you know those signs of the times, or know when it's near, even at the door. You can know that. You can know that if you're a student of Bible prophecy. Verse 43 says, "But know this, that if the goodman of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up." If we would have known, you see, if we only knew this nightmare was coming, then we would have been really attentive. We would have been really paying close attention. Verse 44 says, "Therefore, be you also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man comes." Now is the time to draw closer to God. Now is the time to prepare for his coming. The world has reached the point of no return. We're past it now. But it's not too late for you to act individually. You can act on this truth and be, as we read in Jude, snatched out of the fire, so to speak. One final passage in Luke 21. Luke 21 and verse 32 says, verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away until all be fulfilled. Verse 34 says, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. If you've ever seen a snare or a trap that just collapses onto an animal, it's just like that. And what does it say? As a snare, it shall come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. That's the way it's coming upon this world, like a snare. And we should know better. We should know just from history. We certainly should know because of prophecy. We certainly should know because of what Jesus said. This is Jesus Christ's theology. This is his teaching. This is his prophesying. And why is there so much ignorance in the world today? Well, because there is a real spirit world. There is a God of this world who is Satan the devil. And like 2 Corinthians 4 says, he's blinded the minds of men to the truth of the gospel. So what you're hearing here tonight, this is the true gospel message. This is the message Jesus proclaimed. And when they heard it in Acts 2, you know what they said? Their hearts were pricked, it says there. And then they asked Peter, well, what should we do? What should we do with this? And that's a great question. But you can't just ask the question. You've got to go forward and be a doer.
The Trumpet Daily.
So there you have it. We are wrapping up this audio journal for the West Coast pack swing, the back-to-back-to-back from Phoenix through Los Angeles and Sacramento. That last segment that you heard, that was from the campaign in Phoenix on Sunday night, some from my lecture before the people that turned out for that one, and we've given you some stats along the way already. We're currently on our way back from Sacramento. We just had the Sacramento pack earlier tonight. It was a really amazing event. 75 total people, so it was probably overall it was the smallest one that we had of the three nights, but we had 47 non-PCG members show up for the event, which is comparable to what we had in Los Angeles, even though we had a bigger group there because of all the church members we have down south. In any event, of those 47, I think it was about 15 people who signed up for the follow-up Bible study, and I think I must have talked to most of those 15 and some really, really enthusiastic trumpet readers who are looking to take this a step further. So a really enjoyable night tonight in Sacramento. Right now we're on the Gulfstream 450. We're making our way back to Oklahoma City. We're due to land in Oklahoma City in about an hour, I think, which is about, once we touch down, it'll be about 3 hours before the radio broadcast goes out. And so since we've completed about 55 minutes worth of content in advance, you'll be listening to this recording in just a few hours. Hopefully I'll be at home sleeping soundly for the next several hours after a very busy last 3 days. So it's been a wonderful 3-day event, and I'm glad that we've been able to capture quite a lot of the sound for you to listen to around the world. It's been amazing, too, just talking to quite a few people who, even out west, when the live broadcast comes on at 5 a.m. in the morning, I talked to several in these three areas that said they got up early, and that's sort of their wake-up call. They get their cup of coffee, and they're listening to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show live and then carrying on with their day. So that's been really exciting to get some of that that feedback. So hopefully you've enjoyed this audio journal. Let us know what you think. As all of you know, you can send feedback to the Trumpet Daily Radio Show by sending an email to td@kpcg.fm. You can also submit audio feedback at the TDRS website or the page on the trumpet.com website, and we'd love to hear from you. So hopefully you've enjoyed this. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily Radio Show. Thank you for joining us, and we'll see you tomorrow.